This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Lando Norris trying desperately to get up there, but it's going to be Hatchberg trying to stop Sergio Sete Câmara, and there's nothing between them. They're side by side coming to the last corner. Hatchberg's got him! Hatchberg's got him! And Câmara hits the wall! So too does Hatchberg! And Daniel Tickton wins the Macau Grand Prix! What a finish!
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. Presented by Mosing Motor Cars. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. And that voice you just heard was Mr. Jonathan Green down in Macau. And that's the reason that he's not on the show tonight.
He may not have a voice after that.
Not only is he about 14 hours time difference, he is probably knackered, as he would say, and not going to be on the show tonight. Unless he calls in, but I don't expect him to. So, hey, this is John Massengill. That's Les Kaiser.
Howdy.
And we are excited for tonight's show because let me run down what we got. We're going to start off here in just a few seconds with Mr. Will Owen, a race driver who's We know Mr. Will Owen, young race driver, and he is going to tell us about his 2018 season. He's got some really big announcements to talk about. And then, of course, we are going to talk to a lot about the Macau Grand Prix that Jonathan's down there calling. And he was streaming all over the world, man. I saw people all over the world commenting on Mr. Green's commentary. And we're also going to have, really excited about this, we have Jeff Barrow from Honda Performance Development. And he's going to come talk about the engine development for the new Formula 3 and Formula 4 United States series.
Yeah.
And really, we're going to get a little geeky on turbos and camshafts and whatever else we can think of to talk to Mr. Barrow about. But we're going to jump right into it now because I see the phones lit up with Mr. Will Owen. Will, welcome back to Speed City, buddy.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, what a year, buddy. That's had a rocking year this year.
Yeah, man. Oh, man, this was so good. I don't even know where to start. We've come such a long way since a year ago when I was actually at the Bahrain rookie test.
Yeah,
I just met Richard for the first time, and now a year later, we've had 2 race wins and a good run at Le Mans and a lot of awesome experiences to remember for a long time.
Man, so, folks, a quick refresh. We first met Will back, probably a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And he started being mentored and coached in some of the business by the Speed Group. We get to hear Tony Calderon a lot of times coaching us. And obviously it's working for you, Will, besides the steering wheel work.
Yeah, well, Speed Group has been huge for me. Like, I've been working with David Martinez, who's been my driver coach there. And then as well, like you said, Tony is my manager. And then, of course, I mean, there's a lot of other people at Speed Group. So working with all of them has been super helpful. And David got me up to speed real quick in the Pro Mazda back when I was doing that. and all those skills that he taught me. It wasn't like the very basic basics, but it was a lot of stuff that you just got to get covered. No matter where you're racing, it's important. So I learned that there with him. And then, you know, it transfers over to endurance and everything else I'm doing. So, of course, got to thank him for that. You know, all that work back then, we were driving the Pro Mazda, is contributing to sports car racing now. So, yeah, it's been nice to have him.
Well, let's talk about 2018, because you got some big news for us. You got the re-sign with Autosport and Daytona. So talk about both of those, Will.
Yeah. So, yeah, we just announced the 2018 ELMS program with United again on Thursday. So I'm going to do the same thing, except this time it's going to be a little bit different for United. They're going to have two LMP2 cars. It's going to be me, and then we're still figuring out the teammates for my car, and then Phil Hansen and Philippe, obviously, for the other car next year. So that's going to be good. It's ELMS is going to be super tough, just because there's a lot of stuff going on in sports car racing, but we think it's going to be even more competitive than it was this year. So yeah, I'm going to have to bring my A game, and we're already, you know, kind of thinking about it and preparing, and kind of in preparation for the ELMS season is Daytona. But you know, Daytona is obviously a huge, huge event, so that's been on my mind a lot recently. I've been trying to do as much as I can, get, you know, mentally and physically ready, and just you know, figure out what it's going to take to do that race versus Le Mans, and carrying over some skills from Le Mans. But yeah, that's our program. Still finding out teammates for my car at Daytona. But again, United's going to have two cars there at Daytona with, obviously, you know, the big news on the other car, Alonso, Norris and Hansen. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of attention for sure.
Yeah, man, Daytona, I'm really excited for you. But before we talk Daytona, I do want to ask you, talk about the European Le Mans series, because why don't you give us a little overview of the European Le Mans series versus, I don't know, every other series. I mean, and it is interesting right now with a little bit of spotlight on series like the European Le Mans with the World Endurance Championship, the LMP1 class, and a little bit of disarray. Obviously, I know Toyota just re-signed. That was some news this week. But talk about the European Le Mans series.
Yeah, so, yeah, with all the changes going on in sports car racing just in general, and obviously with, you know, the WEC is changing a little bit, you know, not for good or bad, but it's just changing.
Sure.
I think there's going to be a lot of interest because that season will start later in 2018. So I think maybe some of the WEC guys might be interested in doing ELMS since it's more spread out across the year. But it's a cool series because it's six races. It's, you know, all levels of drivers. You got bronze drivers all the way through platinums, all on the track at the same time. And you got the LMP2 car, which is the top class compared to WEC. You've got the P1, obviously, but you got P2, P3, and then two GT classes as well. But you go to, honestly, this year was so cool with that because we got to go to just so many cool European tracks, so many classic ones like Monza and Silverstone.
Yeah, yeah. Talk about, what's your favorite European track? See, you can say that. Being an American, you can pick one. Over here, you got to say, it's hard. But yeah, pick a European track your favorite.
Oh, man. I still haven't actually figured that question. I mean, honestly, Spa. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody says Spa, and I kind of don't like to say Spa because it's kind of so cliche, but
hard,
I mean,
not to, right?
It's Spa, yeah.
I was there August a year ago, and I will say it lives up to everything that everybody says with good reason. It's such a cool layout down around the course as well as the spectator environment.
Yeah, yeah.
I was there with one of my daughters, and we were laughing because there's a man that probably was 70 years old perched in a tree up on the ledge with like a little six-pack cooler and a brown paper bag with him. And he was just smiling. He looked like a monkey up in the tree, and he was just smiling so big, ready for it. He just waved at us as we walked by.
That's awesome. I bet he's been doing that for like, you know, his whole 70 years of life too. Like, always been there.
You're right. We actually met a couple of guys, and they were from all different countries, as will happen for the Spa race. And that is the one time a year that they get together, but they coordinate now to meet in this one spot. And whoever gets there stakes out the claim of the space, and they move in.
That tree is
lifelong buddies.
That tree is his dad's tree, actually, from
right.
the early.
Being passed on.
He's had it. He's passed down.
Inherit that at some point. That's the environment at Spa, though, isn't it? It's just, everybody loves it so much.
Okay, but you have to acknowledge Silverstone. Silverstone as being one of your favorites after last year.
Yeah, honestly, but yeah, as far as like the memory of which race was that, I mean, like Silverstone was unbeatable because it was, you know, United's English, English and American. So being there was like, there were so many people there that were just cheering for United and so happy for United. And then, you know, for United to have success in all the classes and then obviously, you know, having a race that came down to the final few minutes was one of the most surreal things, especially, you know, being the first race of the season.
That is cool. I'm sure Red Bull Ring is in there somewhere too after last year,
absolutely,
but Silverstone,
absolutely.
The history of Silverstone just overwhelms everything, I think.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, and that's one thing that I learned going to Europe this year is, like, England is one of the coolest places for racing because everybody loves racing. Like, you're driving along on the highway to get to Silverstone and there's, you know, like a million race shops on the way. You're like, wow, you don't see that in America, especially if you don't see race shops, you know?
I mean, it reminds me of one of the first years when F1 was here in Austin and I saw Nico Rosberg just walking down the street. It may have been, I can't remember who else was with him, but he was just walking down the street and people all around and
nobody had a clue.
Yeah. I guess that's the one perk of being, a race car driver as a pro athlete. You know, unless you're Lewis, like, you're probably not famous enough to be recognized outside the track, which is, it's kind of a good thing, I guess. If I guess some people might want to be recognized, but it's kind of nice just to leave the track and be low key. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hey, talk about the American going into the European racing. You know, there's a lot of guys that, like Alexander Rossi, tried to do F1 with it, but it's got to be trying from being away from family and education and everything else. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So that was actually for sure the hardest part of the year was, two things, learning the tracks and the actual traveling itself. Because I didn't really want to just straight up move over to Europe, and that was just kind of a big jump for me. So I wanted to kind of stay in the U.S. and just travel, which of course comes with, the problem of, jet lag, which is quite a big problem that even at the end of the year, there's a point where, no matter what you do to prepare and get hydrated and sleep well on the plane, you're still going to be not feeling that good for a certain amount of time. So that's just a barrier that's there. And then learning the tracks was also tough because, everybody over there, obviously, except for, there were a couple Americans there that maybe, I know Theo Bean and I were both learning the tracks together, being Americans. Everybody else there knows the track super well.
Yeah.
And so, that's a good thing in some ways because I can get advice from, I got advice from Philippe and Hugo a lot last year, and they were like, well, this is how you do this corner, this is how you do this corner. But at the end of the day, you don't get that much, not as much track time as you'd like ever. So I only was starting to feel 100% comfortable with the tracks during the race or towards the end of the race, but that's kind of why I'm so excited to re-sign and do the program with United again this year, because I'm going to be comfortable with all the tracks.
Yeah, you're going to know the tracks, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Well,
that's a huge help.
Well, Will, we just got a little bit of time left, but I got to talk about Daytona because you're going to be across the garage from Alonso and Lando Norris and them?
Yeah. It's going to be crazy. I raced Lando in, John Green will remember this, in the New Zealand series.
That's right.
DRS.
Destroyed everybody there.
Toyota Racing Series,
an awesome job. And at that point, I was still sort of getting comfortable with the open wheel stuff and was not really that close to where he was yet. But I'm excited to have another comparison now to him, a pretty direct comparison, to see how I've progressed. And, just knowing that he's one of the quickest young drivers right now, it's great to have him. And then obviously, one of the greatest experienced drivers of all time, having Alonso there is a great comparison. But also, you can't beat the, all the press coverage and all the media for Alonso.
You're going to be swimming in press around you with Alonso there for sure.
Yeah, and I'm excited for United. That's fantastic for United. It's such a good thing for the team, for them to build popularity going into 2018 and everything. And then that helps me a little bit as well, since United will be getting the spotlight.
Yeah, did you see Lando Norris? Did you see any of Macau, by the way, over the weekend?
I saw the last, I watched one of the races and then I saw the last lap of the, of the final or whatever, of course.
That
was
F3.
Absolutely mad.
We started the top of the show with a clip from Jonathan Green calling that, and he was just about to explode. That was really awesome. We put that out. We got it out on YouTube.
He did a great job with that. He did a great job with making sure that everybody knew, whether you were seeing it or not, that it was the craziest race ever.
So, yeah. You know, that's Jonathan's 25th. It's either 25th or 26th year at Macau. He is the guy at Macau. So,
Definitely he's doing a good job. And that race is I've never seen anything like that.
Well, Will Owen, congratulations on last year, and congratulations on re-signing. And this is really great to see an American with a great career like you're having. And we're going to be watching you all the way, and of course, getting you back on the show. And so, thank you so much for coming back
on
Speed City.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, you bet. Travel safe.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Yep. Bye.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we're going to try to get Jeff Barrow from Honda Performance Development on the line to talk about the new Honda engine that they're using in the F3 and the F4 series here in the United States. It's the same one that's in the Civic Type R that's getting...
R.
All right, listen to Speed City back after these messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
Mosing Motorcars is Texas's only authorized dealer for Superformance products. Superformance's Mark III is the only Cobra replica built under license from Carroll Shelby. There's no finer example of a Cobra around. Mosing and Superformance is your supplier for all the great race cars of history. The GT40, the Mark III Cobra, the Corvette Grand Sport, and the Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. Mosing Motorcars, 2420 West Breaker Lane, online at mosingmotorcars.com. Superformance and Mosing Motorcars. Drive yourself happy.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Talk 1370 is everywhere with the new Talk app. Get it now at talk1370.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
A lot of AC/DC for us tonight, Les.
Oh, absolutely. Saying farewell to Malcolm Young, rhythm guitarist for AC/DC. I think a lot of our listeners probably grew up listening to AC/DC and getting told to turn it down.
We've been losing a lot of icons from our era. Tom Petty and...
Yeah. But
Jeff Gordon brought us back. It's a little NASCAR action today.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Jeff's going to do. You know, he's doing some of the commentating. He kind of hinted at potentially pitch hitting in some of the races coming up, not necessarily NASCAR, but he actually had played in a Formula One car as a test. I don't expect him to come back in a Formula One car by any means, but I think it's really interesting that he's kind of playing around and just experimenting and talking amongst the teams there.
So. Yeah. Well, obviously in NASCAR today, the Mr. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is hanging up his driving gloves.
Yeah, and another one of the guys, he's going to commentating.
Yep.
And so should be interesting. You know, I do like that these drivers are sticking around the sport and commentating.
Yeah. And more NASCAR and Indy and stuff. And Danica Patrick retiring. I mean, that was...
What is she doing next?
You know, I really haven't followed that story very closely.
I have not either. I don't think there was a lot said.
Not that I'm not a fan. I mean, I you know, I know she the dig was that she never won the big races and everything.
Also, but she is a marketing machine.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of
her to do good, honestly.
Oh, I did too.
I did. I wanted her to do well, but yeah, that's some big news. And of course, Martin Truex Jr. winning the championship. But yeah, we're waiting on Jeff Barrow to call from Honda Performance Development. But I want to talk a little bit more about Macau. I don't think we're going to get Jonathan tonight because I think he's probably still asleep in Macau.
As somebody said, we think we broke Jonathan. Have we checked on him?
Yeah,
he may be a little broken.
But the GT class, did you see? I was watching this one live. Oh. I guess this was Saturday night.
Yeah.
About 7 o'clock here, Austin time. And I think it was, what, maybe three corners in, and they had one of those.
First lap.
First typical Macau corners where, you know, it was pretty slow. They're probably about a 50-mile-an-hour corner. And the 911 hits the wall, slows down. The guy comes around the corner, hits him in the back, and then this enormous pileup. Nobody
looked like
hurt.
A train crash.
Yeah, it really did because it's so narrow there. I mean, you know, racetracks joke about you can't go too wide, three wide there. But this one, I mean, the walls, the fences are literally maybe three cars wide.
Yeah, I think that might be a stretch. It really reminds me of the alleys in downtown Austin, you know, driving between the buildings. They're about that narrow. And, you know, Jonathan's told us about that series, that it is a true street series going through narrow roads and ways throughout the Macau area. And I just find that so incredible that they race at those speeds. You know, it's cars and motorcycles on this weekend. And so just amazing to see all that taking place.
We just had somebody tweet at us and said, do you know, have any sort of update on Jonathan Green? Is he okay? It sort of sounded like Macau broke him. Well, you know, it's a marathon down there. I mean, because they start, they start on Thursday. And he was still, that clip you heard of him, at the end of his voice and end of his rope was, you know, Sunday night. So he was for them over there. So he was definitely many, many miles and many decibels down the path. But yeah, man, that Macau is really exciting. And, you know, they got the motorcycle racing there. And apparently there was an accident and a death.
There was. Know?
And Macau is a little bit known for that. I mean, not like the Isle of Man or anything.
Sure,
but
you know, I wouldn't categorize it as a death sport, you know, as many call Isle of Man. But, you know, I do like that style of weekend. How would you like to see some professional racers, cars and motorcycles, come to COTA on the same weekend? Maybe just like a motorsports festival.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to see something like that. Vintage up to
modern. That would be amazing. Yeah.
You know, in so many ways. But I just really like that a lot. The idea of cars and bikes, you know, even carts. Now that we've got some carts out there, I know they shortened the track to the shortest and ran some carts out there a little while back doing some testing. So,
yeah,
we got options for things to go on all one weekend.
And you know, Macau is it's kind of like the Vegas of the of Asia, right? So
there was a stat that it is 5 times the revenue of Vegas.
Wow.
That's
saying something.
That's insane amounts of money flowing through there.
Yeah, well, that would be, you know, Austin, I can't compete with the gambling side of it, but we got a few other attractions going on here with all the live music and everything. So, but anyway, Macau was awesome. Motorcycles, GT cars, F3 cars. So if you haven't followed it, go check it out. We're going to be tweeting some stuff. We got a little on our YouTube now. FIA website has some good stuff, and they've got some things on their YouTube page. And so, yeah, it's awesome. It's one of those off-season race weekends that you got to follow because some of the biggest of the big names come through there.
Sure, they do. And that's what's, you know, that to me is something that's neat. And we didn't get to check with Owen about what's he doing between now and Daytona. But, you know, there's a lot of testing going on about now as well. And so it's going to be interesting what comes out of that. You know, I know there was, Alonso was doing some testing at Bahrain And so, haven't seen a lot of news out of that, but I'd be interested in hearing what he has to say about jumping in with the Toyota team nowadays.
All right. Well, I'm excited about that, but I want to talk about something that we tweeted out a couple days ago. I think it was yesterday, where we tweeted out about how Liberty Media, and we're going to shift gears here because we're still trying to get Jeff Barrow on from Honda Performance Development, but it's a change that Liberty Media brought, and I'm glad we have the opportunity to talk about this because it's talking about how some of the subtle changes that really I think will make a big impact in the sport. Because so now we've got Formula One on ESPN, which again, I love the NBC coverage, but this does afford a new opportunity for us, right? Where it's going to be on in sports bars and you're going to get some accidental, organic, whatever you call it, viewing of Formula One. I'm assuming they're going to have some replays and things like that.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, you would think so. But you'll have it obviously they're going to have some of those, some of in more primetime type, or at least not in the middle of the night type broadcasts. But the thing that they talk about in this article, we tweeted it out on Saturday, so it's from Forbes, talking about how they are going to do things like they're going to do things where, like this year, they had the kilometers per hour and the miles per hour some of the time, but they're going to give, apparently, maybe even different feeds where if you're feeding the, because, Formula One is broadcast on a single world feed. They don't have different networks bringing all their cameras. It's one set of cameras, right?
You know, we probably actually haven't really described that so much. So when we're out at COTA on USGP weekend, Formula One actually brings in, they talk about the circus. They do bring in something that, Barnum and Bailey would be proud to have. And that is they bring in their entire IT infrastructure. And so when you hear us broadcasting out there, it's over their cabling and their wiring and their systems. They bring in their own monitors, put in our booths. We usually have a well-stocked commentating booth anyway, but then they bring theirs in. They bring in all of the broadcast and TV trailers in. And they do that. That's why no matter who you're watching Sky Sports overseas or
it's the same
any
feed.
Of those, you'll notice it's got the little F1 logo in the bottom right corner. And everybody gets the same camera feeds. No matter where you are, you're seeing that same actual feed, that same angle, the same cut from one camera to another. The only difference is you've got the NBC guys or you've got the others, the Sky or whatever, whichever network you're watching it through. So it's really, really interesting.
And of course, they'll put their own spin on it. They'll either do audio clips or even replays that are not, they'll go away from the world feed or whatever. But this article in Forbes talks about, the quote here is from Sean Bratchers, of course, of ESPN in the past, who's now with Formula One. He says, as a consumer being in the United States, I would watch a Grand Prix and all the metrics were in kilometers. He said, next year we're going to put miles per hour in markets that adopt those and kilometers per hour in markets that use those as a metric. So, and he says, he added that consumers aren't the only ones who benefit from the digital development. So that's a simple little thing, but it's just one of those things where when you're trying to grow the sport here in the United States, which I guarantee you that's a big part of why they're doing this, right? They're trying to grow the sport here in the United States, make it simpler. If somebody's a casual watcher, they look at that and go, 321 miles, kilometers per hour. Well, how fast is that? Well, that's 200 miles an hour, guys. That's...
Sure.
It's a simple thing, but it's a good article, and check it out. Just check our Twitter feed on that.
We talked about it when Lee Diffie first took the anchor of the NBC team. Is that there were comments. We heard comments of, well, they don't have any American commentators. Nonetheless, all three of those, two of them anyway, Hobbs and Lee, lived in the U.S., but they do talk kind of funny. But, the passing channel flipper comes across that, and that's not an American, is their takeaway on it.
Yeah, that's true. And obviously, I think that the things that Liberty's doing are going to make a big impact. But all right, well, let's go ahead and take a quick break. You're listening to Speed City. We are live in Austin, Texas, and we'll be back after these messages.
This is
Amazing Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. The racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road. Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe, on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done or where you've done it or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
'Cause I'm TNT. I'm dynamite. TNT. And I'll win that fight. TNT. I'm a power load.
Hi, this is Jay Leno from JayLenosGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
I still laugh when I hear him say that, Speed City. You can just see Jay Leno doing that.
You know, I spoke to him about 2 weeks ago now when I was out in L.A. and asked him when he was coming back. Well, we had missed this. He was here right after MotoGP, and he and Kevin Schwantz took the new Suzukis out on course.
You're kidding. How did we miss that?
That's what I said. So anyway, I told him, I said, well, come back. You're always welcome. But
he said, y'all come back now? You here?
Here. We got barbecue. You here? Hey, so speaking of old friends, not so old friends, but we've been our friends for a while. Brendan Hartley has reason to celebrate this week. He and Pierre Gasly have been formally identified as Toro Rosso's team.
I think that was kind of a rubber stamp deal, but yeah, it's big news. Yeah, hey, sure.
You know, it's, you know, with the things that were going on around the Red Bull Toro Rosso camps, I wouldn't say anything was concrete.
Yeah, but,
glad to see it absolutely is confirmed now. Good to go. Congrats, Brendan. Such a genuinely nice person. Extremely talented. Look at the mentors he's had.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, we've been watching him. It's fun. It's, you know, we got to know him. We can't help it but talk about him because we got to know him at COTA when he was a youngster here in probably 2012.
Quite honestly, I can see Owen.
5 years ago. But
yeah, I can see Owen going through and doing the same thing.
Sure.
You know, we knew him when, and, you know, he got our attention, and it was one of those, I mean, it was, you know, it's easy if you have talent, but when you get to start tracking these when they're so young, like we've been doing, it's really cool to see him go up and graduate and get the big seat.
You know, obviously our favorite one, of course, is Alexander Rossi. He was our very first guest on the show back in 2012. And when he was in Austin and we put him in that Caterham that we borrowed from a listener
and then broke
and he
broke it.
And then we put him in he was in the Caterham. We were in the Corvette chasing him across Congress Avenue.
Yeah. Across the river.
Early Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And way, way, way over the speed limit. But
3 or 4 miles per hour over the speed limit. Maybe five.
You know, we've got footage of that. We need to find
No, we don't.
We do, but there's no speedometers in there. But we need to find it and put it on YouTube.
Yeah, but people will time as we pass those stripes on the road.
They're not going to do any of that.
Dude, I was driving.
The roads were closed. Remember we had the DPS down there? We had the roads closed.
I don't think they show up in the video, but good call.
All right, so let's continue with some Formula One talk. We got Abu Dhabi next week. And the finale, of course, and wrapping it up. And, you know, I don't know. What do you think looking into the finale now that we've got the constructors and Hamilton won? I mean, Haas F1. I mean,
I'll be watching what Haas does. I will watch what Fernando does.
Huh. Yeah. There you go.
You know, Fernando struggled all year. And I just want to see him end on a good note and have some of the returns that we know Fernando can do, but apparently his team can't at the moment, it feels like. I really want to see him come through with a solid race. And, you know, just to put it, if he, you know, has a failure or crashes out, I just curious how that's going to carry into next year.
Yeah. Well, what I was alluding to with Haas F1 is that where are they, eighth right now? And I mean, I haven't done the math. We need to do the math and see how, you know, where they could. I mean, obviously, if they did finish really good, like having a seventh place. I mean, what's the highest finish ever by Haas? I think it was fifth, actually.
Right, right.
But so let's say they finished up at high fifth and Toro Rosso. I mean, because it would be amazing if we could. If they could move up some places in the standings. You know, Jonathan Green has just texted us. He's in Macau, and I see the producer trying to get some technology working over there on Skype and stuff. So we may get Greeny here on the phone here in a second. But you know, wait, Mr. Green, I think I can hear you over there.
Well, not quite. Almost.
I could almost hear him. He sounded like a little
using
tiny
a translator. He might have broke his voice for sure.
Yeah, that was what it sounded like. But anyway, so I was talking about Haas F1, right? So it'll be the end of their sophomore year, right? So if we could have them, they've obviously done better than they did the year before, which was way beyond what anybody ever expected. So I mean, I'd just love to see him move up a little bit.
Okay, so here you go. Points wise for the team, we got 2 points to Renault. We got 6 points to Toro Rosso. So still within reach of changing their standing. They don't have to end where they are sitting in eighth.
Yeah. So, Mr. Jonathan Green, do we have you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Morning, boys.
Good morning, sir. It's evening for us, but I know it's Monday morning for you over there in Macau.
Yep, just got up and still recovering.
Well, we played your clip, buddy, from the final race of the GT, the F3 race. Man, it was that was an incredible last lap. We played your clip, but you got to tell us, and you know, you were there and watched the whole thing. You got to call it. Tell us about it, man. It was awesome.
Well, it was. I mean, Macau is always ridiculously intense and unpredictable, but it was one of the best finishes we've had in years. Particularly because there were two distinct battles going on, one involving Daniel Tictum, who did an amazing overtake, and the other involving Sergio Settecamera, who'd come back from F2 to try to win the Macau Grand Prix, and an up-and-coming F3 star, Ferdinand Habsburg, who I've known well from the Toyota Racing Series, and now in Formula 3, and he's just a super fellow. And if you know the name, the Habsburg name, yes, he is that descendant of the Habsburg Empire. So he's got a bit of a tag that he's trying to shake because he wants to be a racing driver. And I think he shook it yesterday because that was one of the bravest attempts to win the Macau Grand Prix for Trevor Carlin and his team. And he is almost the sort of – he didn't win it because he hit the wall with about half a couple of seconds to go, and he still crawled across the line to fourth place. But the race was won by Daniel Tictum, which was also pretty impressive because earlier in the weekend Daniel Tictum had set the fastest lap or was about to take pole position before the red flag came out. So there was a lot of great stories, but it was just an amazing, amazing event.
We were watching. What was it, Saturday night? I guess that would have been Sunday morning for you when the GT cars, that huge pileup, that was like, oh, that was
like
crazy.
A melee.
But yeah,
I expected some fists to fly.
But I'm going to ask you about that. But I definitely don't. I want to go back to the F3 for just a second because when Habsburg hit the wall and I thought he was done and I didn't realize he crossed over for fourth place because I saw the standings there. I was like, how did he do that? Because I'd look like he was done. And but who was that crashed right? Either right after or right before Habsburg.
Well, Camera also crashed. So,
oh, that's right. Yeah,
Camera was leading the race and was literally one corner away, but Habsburg overtook him, got in the slipstream, overtook him on the outside.
That's right.
Both
that's right.
of them overcooked it basically because they break. They basically you need to drop a gear there and brake, or slightly at least, but neither of them did because both of them wanted it so bad. So both of them hit the wall.
Yeah. What about in the F3 series? What about Lando Norris? I mean, what did he come in fifth, I think?
No. He crossed the line in second.
Oh, he did. I knew he did pretty good, but that's great. Yeah, I know it was kind of topsy-turvy right at the end there. But so how was his weekend?
Not as spectacular as we'd hoped because he had a clutch problem off the line in the first race. He also sort of ran out of tires. They were struggling with grip in the latter stages of the race. But to be honest, him and his teammate Joel Eriksson were swapping fastest laps during practice. He's the real deal, and you can understand why McLaren have picked him up. I mean, what's great about the story is if you've got Lando Norris, who's going to McLaren Formula One, he'll be teaming, in fact, with Fernando Alonso at the Daytona 24 Hours in just a month's time or 2 months' time. You've got Daniel Tictum, who's been picked up by the Red Bull Junior team, so the next Max Verstappen, if you will, and now he's won the Macau Grand Prix. And then in the middle of all that is a relative unknown, and that's Habsburg. So he's certainly made his name, but... The cream rises to the top.
Hard to call a Habsburg unknown, but I want to ask you something. You talk about him winning this Macau Grand Prix, right? What does that do for his resume? Talk about that.
Well, the Macau Grand Prix, and it is a World Cup, it's been going since 1983. And if I tell you that the first guy to win it was Ayrton Senna when he was 21, you might get an idea. Over the history, Michael Schumacher's won it. Ralph Schumacher's won it. David Coulthard's won it. Vettel took part. Hamilton took part. And then there are people like Robert Kubica, who, of course, is trying to get back in Formula One, who make their name. So it doesn't necessarily mean if you win the Macau Grand Prix, you're headed for start fame and fortune. But it really does make the world of motor racing sit up and take notice because it is such a challenge. It's such a tough street circuit.
That's what I was
and
getting
And it's an
at.
Invite only. So it's an invite only. So only the best guys get asked to go. So if you beat them, you're the best.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting at, is that on your resume, it doesn't mean you're the best of the best yet, but it certainly gets people's attention. So... that's what I meant. So tell me about the GT race. I guess here it was Saturday night where it must've been like the fourth corner when it looked like a giant, there were cars stacked at least too high, if not higher in that one corner. It was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it was, well, first and foremost, it was probably the greatest field of, both drivers and manufacturers we'd ever gathered. So, I think there was 9 previous winners of the Macau Grand Prix, 4 world champions from Lucas Degrassi in Formula E to Laurent Vanthoor, Mauro Engel, DTM champions. I mean, you know, it was a who's who. Anyway, the problem was Daniel Giuncadella, who was a former winner of the Formula 3 race at Macau, hit the wall on the first corner and damaged his car. But he didn't really notice it properly until he came down to halfway through the first lap, turned to the right, which was the major right-hand turn, couldn't turn properly, hit the wall, and everybody else was steaming down this hill at over 100 miles an hour, and it created a concertina effect. And as you saw, it was absolute mayhem and about 50 million's worth of damage.
Wow.
Yeah, the dollar.
And they really are stacked.
Yeah, the dollar amounts was staggering. Everything from Lamborghinis and Porsches, and I mean, it was just stacked high. It was pretty crazy. But what about the bike racing this weekend, Jonathan?
Yeah, the bike race, as always, took place. It was the 51st running of the bike race, but sadly, it was marred by the loss of a young man called Daniel Hegarty. We had a fatality this year, very sad. But to be fair, you know, it's a bit like the Isle of Man TT, and you know my thoughts on that. These guys choose to do it. It's not, I don't take anything away from them. It's a wonderful spectacle, but, you know, it's very, very precariously dangerous. And unfortunately, he hit a wall at over 100 and whatever miles an hour, and you know, there's no coming back from that. So very, very sad end. And thankfully, though, a lot of people were very respectful of not using champagne. Daniel Tickton, who won the race in Formula 3, dedicated the race to him and his family. So, yeah, it's probably a little bit of a sadness towards the end of the weekend there. But
yeah, speaking respectful, I noticed a lot of – apparently there was some video. I didn't see it. I didn't want to see it. And apparently I saw several people saying they're not going to post it on purpose. So that was good and respectful. But what about the actual racing? The Macau bike racing, I don't really follow that closely, Jonathan. So where are the guys coming from? Are they coming from British Superbikes? Are they from Moto America? Anything like that?
No, it's basically, it's an invite only. And because of the precariousness of it, it's all specialists, what we call road specialists. So they're the guys that do take part in the Isle of Man TT. So they're very much specialists in racing on roads. So it's Michael Rutter, it's Peter Hickman, and guys that if you're familiar with that sort of racing. But no, it's not guys from MotoGP or World Superbikes. There's the occasional ringer. In fact, Kevin Schwantz has won the race back in 1988. So, you know, there's some famous folks have taken part in it. Ron Haslam run it 6 times. Wow. Michael Rutter has won it, I think, 8 times. But Irwin was the man who was making the hay before it all finished early. It's an amazing spectacle, and the crowd love it. I mean, they really do. It's so amazing to watch these bikes go, and they are super bikes, mind you. They are, spec super bikes. A lot of the bikes come from the British Championship, and a lot of the teams come from the World Championship, like Paul Bird Racing, and so on. So it's the very best of the very best.
Well, man, we just got a minute left, Jonathan. We're going to get somebody from Circuit of the Americas on here in just a second to talk about their new Winter Wonderland. But before I let you go, I want to talk about how Macau was out on social media this year. I think we had it streaming on our website. We had a ton of people thanking us for doing that. It was out on the web, on the internet, several places, including the FIA website. But I think it was great for us to do our part to show people this, because a lot of people didn't know just where to find it, and we just put it out there. But what I'm getting at is I think it was far and wide on the web this year. I think I never saw, I've followed it every year since you've been down there in the last 5 years or so. But this year it was the uptake on social media, which most of what the social media that we interact with is probably United States and UK, but the uptake seemed to be really, really good this year, like exponentially better than prior years.
Yeah, and I mean, the Macau government, I mean, you can imagine it's run by the tourism office and run by Macau government. So in many ways, it's a tourist attraction for Macau, which is a huge gambling city. And so they want exposure. It's not like the model is different, if you will. So they don't want to sell the rights. They want to give the rights. They want everybody to see it. And so does the FIA, because it's their World Cup. In terms of television rights and so on and so forth, there are plenty of television stations taking it live from Japan to New Zealand and so on. But putting it on the internet like we did gives everybody a chance to have a look at it and interact with it. And like I said, it's just a big celebration of manufacturers, world-class drivers, up-and-coming drivers, and this amazing spectacle, which is now, 64 years old. So I think it's the right thing to do is to expose it to new places, because I think, like you say, a lot of people are coming to it for the first time and amazed at this street circuit, which I've now been going to for 24 years.
You know, it felt like a tipping point to me on social. That's what it felt like. So, all right. Well, Mr. Green, some of our Twitter followers are saying thank you that you're alive, that you came on the show. Apparently, Andy P. just said he's alive. He still has a voice left. So we will talk to you when you get back, buddy. I know you're going to head to see some family for Thanksgiving, but of course you'll be back on the show next weekend. And fantastic job at the Macau Grand Prix, man. We were listening, and you and Alan did a great job.
Thank you so much, guys. And yeah, happy Thanksgiving. I'll be back soon.
All right.
Talk
to you soon.
Travel safe.
All right.
You know he knows where to find good dim sum.
Oh, yeah. He's probably doing good
breakfast.
Down there. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have a gentleman from Circuit of the Americas on the phone because we're going to talk about the Winter Wonderland they're doing out there. I love this idea. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's because it's at Circuit of the Americas. I love everything. You're listening to Speed City, live in Austin, back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Central Texas's source for classic performance cars. British, German, Italian, Japanese, and American. Ready for that special car you've always dreamed of? Mosing has you covered. Looking to sell a classic? Let Mosing handle all the details and get that special vehicle in the hands of the right buyer. Visit the showroom at 2420 West Breaker Lane or call 512-821-9491 or browse the garage online at mosingmotorcars.com. Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
When news happens, it happens here. Talk 1370, the right choice.
Time for the announcement. Okay. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Thanks to Mosing Motor Cars for being our title sponsor since Formula One.
Hey, yeah. You got to go check out Mosing Motor Cars on Facebook because there's a really cool video of a little Mini Cooper out playing on the track Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you just check it out. Jeff Mosing, you know, we know him through the Porsche racing and everything. He's out
at Circuit of the Americas?
No, he's actually over at one of the other tracks at Driveway Austin, flogging this little thing.
You just ruined my segue.
Oh, well, Circuit of Americas. But, you know, hey, that was a great announcement. Santa is coming, not exactly at 9 a.m. in the morning, but we've got one of his buddies. I think he's the chief elf, Roberto. And so Roberto's going to get us all caught up on a Winter Wonderland, the first year of it. And this thing's really cool. I've already checked out some stuff.
Hey, Roberto, welcome to Speed City, buddy.
Hey, thank you very much for having us on the show again. And it's exciting. We got some good news here at the track.
Yeah, Circuit of the Americas is doing something fun for Christmas called the Winter Wonderland. So tell us all about it.
Yeah, so it's a brand new event that we believe it's going to become a tradition, a holiday tradition here in Central Texas. We're coming with all different kind of things for all different ages and using all the structure that we have here at the track, right? We all know that the track is not just about cars and motorcycles. It's also about a full entertainment destination. And we're turning this place during the December month into a very cool holiday event with all different kinds of activities for like I said, for all ages. So it's going to be a fun month here at the track.
Well, I'm sitting here reading about it, so I'm going to read off a couple of things. The skating rink, a human snow globe. I'm going to come back to that.
We're gonna do Speed City holiday pictures in the snow globe. I think that's what we got to do.
The human snow globe, singing trees, petting zoo, camel rides. Okay, Santa's workshop, carnival rides, hot air balloon float, merry movies on the lawn, delectable food, shopping galore. Ooh, shopping too. That's kind of cool. And the soon to be world famous tunnel of lights and more. That sounds incredible, but tell me about the human snow globe. I got to come back to that.
Yeah, so the human snow globe, it's a cool picture opportunity. You know, you can come in with your family inside the snow globe, take a picture, a nice picture of it, and make your memories, right?
Cool.
It's gonna be a fun activity, and we can't forget to say also, especially when we're talking here on a radio, right, and a program, is we're going to have the Circuit of Lights where you're going to be able to walk on the track with, a lot of light displays. It's going to be a very cool walk. It's a 0.8-mile walk from turn 19 all the way to turn 15. So it's going to be a fun event. And like you said, we got petting zoo, camel rides, the singing tree, skating rink. The tunnel of lights is also going to be something very cool. We got the we're using the bridge over turn 16, and we're creating it's a 200 feet RGB tunnel of lights that's going to dance. The lights are going to dance for the music. It's going to be a blast. I'm sure whoever comes out here with us starting December 1st, it's going to really enjoy their time, and I'm sure they're going to end up coming back on another moment. During the month, it's going to be
that's awesome.
Cool events
and holiday movies. So they've set up a movie theater out there.
Bad Santa?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. But hey, so yeah, be sure and stick around. Roberto has.
We're going to be using the big screen that we have on the soccer field out there near the amphitheater.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Going to be also a very cool thing. You know, the kids sitting around. We're going to have some cool movies showing, of course, holiday related, and it's going to be fun. And we can't forget also about the hot air balloon. You know, it's not every day they can fly, go up and see the track from up top with a hot air balloon in the middle of the night. So it's going to be a cool
awesome experience. Well, Roberto, thank you for coming on the show. We're going to be giving away some tickets out there. It's open to the public December 1st and 2nd, also the 8th through the 30th, Sunday through Thursday, 6 to 10 p.m., $16. Kids 5 and under are free. Check it out, circuitoftheamericas.com. Roberto, thank you so much for coming on Speed City. Yeah, I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
All right, guys, we got to wrap it up, but we are going to give away some tickets, aren't we, Les?
Yeah, we will. We'll keep up with our social media. We'll get those out, and hey, it is a very cool event.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up. Talk to you next week. SpeedCityBroadcast.com, Twitter, Facebook, all the rest.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.